Thank you, Brother Dale, for those inspiring thoughts. Normal isn't coming back. It ain't coming back. That's right. But we know that we have a God to serve that hasn't changed. He's promised that he won't change. And it's in his name we greet you tonight. Thank you so much for your hospitality this weekend. We've enjoyed our visit with you and staying here and getting reacquainted with some of you. It's been some time and it was just good to be here and get a little insight into your congregation's life here. May God continue to bless you as a congregation as you faithfully keep on serving him. I was inspired as well with the songs that were shared. I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house of thine abode. And as we were singing that song, I was almost wishing I would be sharing another message. It put another message that I preached recently right back into my heart and in my mind, and it's not the message I chose to share with you tonight. But the church of God is such a beautiful thing. And it's good for us just to reflect on the church, the body of believers, our brothers and sisters. And I preached a message on that recently and was inspired again. But tonight I've chosen to think about God, one of the attributes of God. I'd like to think about the holiness of God tonight and how the holiness of God should affect us, what it should mean to us and what it should do in our lives, because we serve a God who the Bible tells us is holy. I'd like to look at some scriptures in the introduction to this message and invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6, a very familiar account of King Uzziah having a vision of seeing God and his impressions of God. It's very familiar, but I'd like to read the first 8 verses of Isaiah chapter 6 first. Isaiah 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, and twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I. Sent me. This was the vision of Isaiah. A glimpse into the glory of God himself is what it was. I once heard a minister say that if the Bible repeats itself and says something 3 times, that means we should take close observance to it and think about it. And I believe when we think of the holiness of God, verse 3 says, And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And you think about Isaiah seeing this vision, and the posts of the, and the doors moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was at the voice, and the house was filled with smoke. Do you think Isaiah was moved in his heart? I believe he was. It tells us that he was by his response to that. Tonight I'd like to think about the holiness of God, and then I'd like to think about how this should move us, or the effects that it should have in our lives and in our hearts. I believe that if there is one thing that God would have us know about his nature, we talk about the attributes of God and the different things that God is. I would say that his holiness is the chief attribute of all the attributes, I believe. And I believe it is revealed by God in through his word. We get pictures of it as we study the word and as we look into the word. The holiness of God, I believe, is above and in and woven, I'm going to say, through all the rest of the attributes of God, whatever you choose to think about. I believe that the attributes of God, all that God is controlled and permeated by his holiness. In other words, it's controlled and it's filled through and through. Just like the house was filled with smoke, it's saturated. It's in there. The holiness of God is there. I can hardly wrap my mind around the holiness of God. When you think about a God, the fact that God is righteous, God is perfectly holy. In him dwells the presence of everything that is good, everything that is beautiful, everything that is righteous. To think about it stretches my mind. Beyond, and is it any wonder, we are finite, God is infinite, we are limited, we can only absorb so much. And God is way beyond that. It amazes us to think about the fact that God is a God of love. And God is also a holy God. The God of the Bible is love, but his love is holy. You think about our lives, and you think about the love that we relate to. Yes, we endeavor to have pure love and have pure thoughts and pure hearts and be motivated by love, the love of God in our hearts. And yet we cannot have that love in the same way that God has it, because we are not holy like God is holy. It is true that the Bible tells us, God tells us, that he wants us to be holy as he is holy, not like he is holy, because God knew that we cannot be holy like he is. And so we cannot love like God loves, and you take that in all of what God is. So I'd like for us to see, as we look at this thought, this picture we have in Isaiah chapter 3, I'd like for us to see three things like Isaiah saw it. First of all, he saw the holiness of God, and he was moved by that. Secondly, it moved Isaiah to see himself for who he was. What did Isaiah say about himself? He said, "Woe is me. I'm undone." I believe that Isaiah felt like he shouldn't even be in the presence of what he was seeing here because of his own sin, his own undoneness, for who he was. I'm a man of unclean lips, and he said, we as people dwell, we're people of unclean lips. Then flew one of the seraphims, having a live coal, and told him he touched his tongue. He touched him with it, and touched his lips with it, and he told him that his iniquity is taken away and that his sin is purged. I'm supposing that Isaiah felt a bit better, but I believe he still recognized his need, because his response was, when God said, "Who will go for me?" Isaiah said, "Here am I." And so I think when we really see God in his righteousness, in his holiness, in his beauty, his love, his grace, his mercy, we see God for who he is. You take all the attributes of God and you start considering them and you think about them and you realize that God has been so good to us and so gracious to us. Does it not move us in our hearts to say, "Lord, here's my life. I'll give it to you." Turn back in your Bibles a few pages to Isaiah 57. I want you to notice verse 15, another very familiar verse to us. But Isaiah 57, 15 says this. Here Isaiah says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." God is so holy, his name is holy, Isaiah is saying. "I dwell in a high and a holy place." God dwells in this high and holy place with who? With him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Why? To revive us, to revive the spirit of the humble, the heart of the contrite ones. And so, if we allow God to work his work of grace in our lives, God puts us to a place where we are fit to be in his presence and experience, at least in a measure, some of his holiness. What a great God. What a God of love when we think about God in his holiness. And tonight I just want to, in the outstart of this message, I just want to just get you to think about the great holiness of God. Holy, holy, holy is our God. Now, Isaiah responded, and you and I should respond. But how? How do we respond? Well, the Bible gives us direction in how to respond. We think we know how to respond, maybe. We have ideas how to respond. But tonight I'd like to take you to Scripture, and I'd like to show us some things from the Scripture. Let's go to the New Testament. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And I'd like to read some of the Hebrew writers' thoughts in relation to some of the things that take place in our lives, things that happen in our lives, experiences that happen to us, and how it relates to this thought of holiness. In Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll break in at verse 11, it says this, Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Do you like the chastening of God in your life? Do you like the prompting of the Spirit of God in your life in areas that you know that you probably need it, but you don't really want it? Your flesh doesn't desire to have it. And yet God knows that it's good for you, and God knows that we need it. No, it's not a pleasant experience. And that's what the writer is saying here. It's not a joyous experience. It's grievous. But why does God do it? God does it to bring us to the place where he wants us to realize that we need more of him, is what he's doing with it. It yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness, which is a part of God's holiness. It's another attribute of God, unto them which are exercised by thereby. Then he says, well, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which be lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Isn't that what happened to Isaiah in his experiences? He saw the holiness of God and he responded in a right way. He was healed, and that's what needs to happen to us. And then we have this verse in verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It's a very sobering verse when you think about what that verse is telling us. So we are called to love each other and to work together with our fellow men, to love our neighbors as ourselves, as Jesus taught us. We're to look out for each other in church life, like we talked about this morning. We are to follow. We are to be at peace one with another. And we're to do this in the spirit of unity, in the spirit of holiness, in the spirit of love. And without which, if we don't, the Bible tells us that we shall not see the Lord. And so that makes us consider the question tonight, how important is holiness? How important is this? Verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God. And then he goes on and he tells us that if we fall from the grace of God and we're not perfect in our walk with him anymore, some of the things that can happen, this root of bitterness he talks about, springing up and troubling us. And the root of bitterness defiles many others, is what happens. He talks about fornicators, profane persons as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Talking about selling and giving up things that God counts dear and wants from our lives and from our hearts. And we don't see the importance of it and we give up. And we let other things take place. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Another question as I pondered that came to my mind. So can we follow peace with all men without holiness? Think about that a little bit tonight. Can we actually follow peace with all men tonight if we aren't trying, endeavoring to have holiness as a part of our experience? Yes, we cannot be holy like God is holy, but God wants us to follow after the things that make for peace. And if we do that, if we make the things that make for peace, obviously we're going to be following after the holiness of God as well. Maybe we could think about it in this way. We find ourselves living, our brother was talking about the world we're living in tonight, and we sometimes wish for the good old days, like we say. But we do live in a very permissive age, I'll call it today. To many people, nothing really matters. They do as they please. They follow their own lusts and desires. And there's this attitude in our society today that somehow in the end it's all going to work out. We don't know how, but it'll work out. Don't worry about it. Just do it. It'll all be fine. Well, there was people like that the Bible talks about in the Old Testament. There was a time, the Old Testament says, when everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. And I suppose that maybe we're just seeing a repeat of that in our society today, where people leave God completely out of the picture. They don't think about that. And so as I pondered those thoughts and I thought about that, and then I thought about who Paul was writing to, and I'm not sure what all Paul had in mind. But in these verses, I believe they were written to the Hebrew Christians who may have been considering turning back to Judaism again, maybe due to their immaturity, not understanding, a lack of understanding, the lack of not understanding biblical truth. And is that maybe why Paul says in verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fall from the grace of God? Paul saw this people turning back, I believe, and falling from some things that they had experienced, maybe some chastening in their lives, and there was a response to that for some time, but then they were falling back. I'm not sure, but I believe that the audience Paul was speaking to was familiar with the ceremonial cleansings and all that, those rituals that they had kept in the past, the things that prepared them for worship, for cleansing. They knew they had to be holy. They knew that they understood that they had to be clean to enter into the temple and worship and come into the presence of God. I believe this audience knew that. And so I believe Paul was talking to them in this way because he was trying to get them to see their needs, because they had apparently already fallen from grace. They had returned back into living selfish lifestyles and doing things that were not convenient. And the truth of the matter is tonight, friends, that sin always blocks our vision of God. If we want to see God, we must remove sin. We must remove the corruption from our lives, as it were. And the importance of that is in this verse, that it implies that without holy living, without doing that, without removing the corruption from our lives and being washed in the blood of Jesus, our chances of getting to heaven are not there, is what it's saying. Without this holiness, no man can. It implies that holiness is coupled with peace in our hearts and the experience with the Lord Jesus. And so just think about that a little bit as we move on. My next question is then, so what really is holiness? Let's consider that question for a little bit. What really is holiness? I believe that true holiness refers to being set apart from sin. In other words, holiness, some synonyms of that would be sacred, dedicated, the idea that we're devoted, consecrated, hallowed, it's holy. What all does it include? Holy in what? It includes our thoughts, our speech, our attitudes. Conquering sins of the spirit, the bitterness, the anger, the jealousy, the evil speaking, as well as the sins of the flesh. Those are all parts of being holy. But dear friends, tonight, I'm here to tell you this evening that it's more than that. It is that. And I'd like to think beyond that tonight, of what the Bible tells us that it is. I see in these verses, first of all, I see in verse 15, and I was talking about this, that holiness is a response to the grace of God. Looking diligently, lest any man fall from the grace of God. So falling from the grace of God, the opposite of that is responding to the grace of God, right? And that means as God chastens us, as God moves after us, as God draws our hearts, as God speaks to us, God wants us to respond. You see, that's the opportunity of grace. That's God extending His mercy, His love, and His grace to us to move us toward Him. When we repent, we confess our sins. The blood of Christ makes us, what does it do? It cleanses us. Purifies us, it makes us holy, right? That's what it does. We become clean in the eyes of God. We become holy in the eyes of God only through His Son, Jesus. Only through meeting Him at the cross. Only through the cross experience can we do that. We cannot do this on our own. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2 says, Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And so those verses tell us that we must respond to the grace of God. We must respond to the Spirit of God as he speaks to us. You see, holiness is a result of Christ's work in our hearts, is what it is. And I believe tonight, I'm of the persuasion this evening, friends, that the more we respond to this work of grace in our hearts, the more holiness our lives express to those around us. It's obvious. As we allow the Spirit, the chastening of the Lord, to do its work in our hearts and in our lives, and we draw, in response, we draw closer to God, and we yield to God, it's obvious. People, friends, neighbors, your church brothers and sisters, they will notice. And I believe that it results in more holy living, in more holy choices, in more a likeness of Christ himself. The love of God that he had for us becomes apparent and evident in our life, in the things that we relate to. And so holiness tonight is a response to the grace of God. Secondly, I believe that holiness is a constant awareness of God. And I say this because I believe this evening, I'm persuaded tonight that if we are constantly aware that God listens, God knows, God hears us, he sees everything that is taking place, every day, every moment in our lives, if we have that constant awareness, would it not help us to express more holiness? If Lamar could remember every moment of his life as he goes about his work all week long and as he relates to everything that God would have us relate to in a day's time, and we relate to it with an awareness that God is watching, God is observing, God is hearing, God knows, he sees our hearts, he sees our struggles, he knows what we're experiencing. Would that awareness not create more of a holy attitude within us? I think it would. The more careful we would be in our motives, our speech, and our actions, I think it would reflect it. But again, it's a result of our hearts. The proverb writer says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light." What does he say about that shining light? It shines more and more unto the perfect day. I think that's a result of the holiness of God and the work of grace and a constant awareness of God in our lives. I really believe it is. Thirdly tonight, the path of holiness is made plain to us by this book that you carried into church tonight. We have the Word of God. We have the Bible. The path of holiness is made plain to us. The psalmist reflected on this. He said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." Did you ever have an experience where you traveled somewhere in the dark? You didn't know where you were. The path was maybe stony and rough. And you just got this fear in your heart because of the blackness that you were experiencing. Exactly about a year ago, we had an experience like this. My wife and I and our son were in Honduras. We haven't been in Honduras for a number of years. And we thought we knew our way around because we were there before. And my son had spent a few years there. But it's been a number of years since we were there. And we were visiting friends there in Honduras one evening, and it got dark, it got late, we were enjoying ourselves, and we were aware that it's getting later and at night, and it was rather late till we headed back to our destiny, to where we were going to stay and spend the night. And my son instead of trying to follow any GPS or anything like that, just decided to take the mountain roads that he knew. And we ended up on a cow path that we thought was a road. And after a while, we were just heading down, and it had just rained. It was a smeary, muddy mess. We were just heading down into a ravine, down over the hill, and there was almost no stopping. And when we got stopped, we were scared to move. I looked to the left, and it was dark, and it's dark in Honduras. This was dark. I looked into that ravine. I couldn't see why. I don't know, but it just leaves. We don't want to go over that edge, and the other edge went up the hill on the other side. We called for help, ran one of our church brethren out, and connected with him and left him know where we were. We couldn't move the vehicle. We didn't dare try. He took us back to the house. He laughed a little bit when he found out, and he could see how we got there, but it was funny to him. Well, the next morning, we went back to get the vehicle. The sky had cleared out. It was daylight. The sun was shining. It was beautiful, and we went in there, and I almost laughed at how much fear I had last night, because it didn't look half as bad as it did to me last evening. You see, that is what God's Word does to us. It lights our path. Without God's Word, we wander in that darkness. We grope in that darkness. We get fearful, and we're almost scared to the point many times. And Satan just loves to get us there, is what he likes to do. Get us there where we have this fear. The next day, it was actually enjoyable. We needed a tow rope and pulled our vehicle out of there, but it was beautiful. I stood there and I looked out across the ravine and just enjoyed the nature and the beauty of Honduras and wondered why in the world I had the feelings I did last night. That's the way the Word of God works in our lives. The Word of God, I'm going to say tonight, is the only way to grow in our holiness. Dear friends, tonight, this book is precious. And if you want to grow in your response to God and in your holiness to God, study the book, read the book, enjoy the book, love it, appreciate it. The more you do, the more it'll do its work in our heart. You see, human nature too often causes us to forget the facts. And we start clinging to the transient earthly things. We start putting our confidence in other things. Maybe it's in our wealth, our possessions, friends. It can be even family. It can be education, in ourselves. But tonight, I believe, and I'd like for you to think about this. As we set our hearts on anything other than God, even things that are beneficial, it takes us back to putting this barrier between us and God, is what it does. And we cannot live with a divided heart and live a holy life. God wants our loyalty. He wants all of us. He wants our time. He wants everything that he has given to us. Why not? It's his in the first place. He wants us to love him with our whole heart so that he can guide us on our way in the way that he wants to guide us. And it's only as we allow him to guide us in that way that he's going to be able to perfect us in this need of holiness that we stand in need of. Well, my fourth point tonight is that holiness is a result, and this is closely related to this, but it's a result of keeping on the straight and narrow way. Jesus talked about the two roads, the one's broad, the one's narrow. It's the narrow, straight way. And I'd just like to say this evening that the genuinely righteous person isn't going to try to wander back and forth between two roads. In other words, between the broad road and the narrow road. And you smile and you say, well, why would we do that? But you know what? We do that sometimes. I believe as God looks us at us sometimes, he says, why are you wandering where you're wandering in the path that you are? I'm not suggesting tonight that we're on the bad way. But in reality, there is a sense that we sometimes vacillate back and forth, maybe between two ways. The only way tonight to build a relationship with God is to have a heart that loves truth and righteousness and lives truth and righteousness and walks truth and righteousness and chooses truth and righteousness in every situation, every question, every decision, everything that comes our way. We weigh the situation and we decide according to God's word. You see, a result of a person who wanders, or a person who tries to, a person who tries to serve two masters or please two lines of thoughts or two ways of his heart. Sometimes our heart pulls us one way and sometimes another. A person like that really ends up making bad choices at times in life. And Satan is just pleased with that. That's what he wants us to do. And what it does, it makes a person like that thinking that we can do certain things and get by and it doesn't matter so much, and we start not thinking the seriousness of decisions like we should. Clarity of thought. I wouldn't say a person like that's deceived, but if we allow that to go on in our lives too long, we will be deceived, is what will happen. And so there is only one way to live eternally with God. This is by serving, by walking the narrow way, which is God's way, is doing it God's way. Proverbs 16 and verse 17 says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. The righteous walk the way of life, a life of joy, a life of favor with God. When you live right, tonight, dear friends, get this. I believe that when you live right, you can sleep right and you can feel right. I like that. It just works together. When you know that God's blessing is on your life, it brings that peace that we were talking about. And it opens a way that we know that the blessing of God is upon us. It's a way of peace. It's a way of holiness. Number five, I believe an expression of true holiness is when we endeavor to put all of Christ in all of life. And this follows my thought before. This morning I talked about Paul's asking us, Romans 12:1 comes to mind. Familiar verse, and all of a sudden I thought I'd get quoted again this evening. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we present ourselves. And so as we do that, what we are really doing is putting Christ in everything in life again. We talked about putting Christ in every decision and everything, thinking about it, thinking about the fact that God's looking at us. And as we put Christ in all of life and we respond to the questions of life with the questions, well, how would Jesus, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? What would he have done when he was walking this earth in this situation? It results in making choices that I believe God can bless when he sees that attitude. Number six, and this is my last point tonight. Having holiness in our hearts produces a culture. Now get this tonight. Our life, the choices we make, and if we are living for God and we have holiness, it's going to produce a culture, a way of life, in other words, for us, because we will make choices according to that. But just living a culture doesn't necessarily produce holiness. And I want us to understand that tonight. Because why is this so important? I feel it's important because we live in cultures. We are influenced by culture. It's just a given fact. Society around us, even within our Mennonite circles, we are influenced by Mennonite culture, if I may say it that way, brethren. And not all Mennonite culture is all that good for us sometimes. And it's well for us to stop that. Just because everybody else is doing it, like we say, it doesn't necessarily make it right or make it good or make it that it produces more holiness in our experience. And we need to understand that. Having holiness in our hearts, so as we study God's word and as we endeavor to be more like Christ and follow Christ, and if we're serious about that and sincere about that, it's going to produce a way of life for us that we will follow Christ, because this is what I believe the Bible teaches. This is what I believe God wants from my life. I will spend my money in this way because I believe it's pleasing to God. No, I won't spend it over there because I don't really need that. And by the way, what would it appear like and look like to other people? And we think about those kind of things instead of just saying, well, I have the money and I have the right to do it and there's nothing wrong with it. And you see what I'm saying? We are influenced by culture, and that bothers me sometimes. I wonder about some of the culture that we're influenced. I could preach a few more messages on several of those subjects around that. But I want us to think about that tonight, because I really believe that if we get the right thing in the right place, it's going to make a difference. And that holiness needs to produce the culture, and not think that somehow our culture is producing holiness. That's not the case. In conclusion tonight, turn with me in your Bibles to one more verse. I'd like for us to see 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. We didn't talk a lot about the promises of God and the promises that are in the scripture, but there's many promises there. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, Paul says this: having therefore these promises, and he was talking about things that should be a part of the Christian life. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Or in other words, another word for perfecting would be accomplishing. Just make it happen. Work at it. Yes, we can try to perfect. We'll never be perfect. But at least do something. Accomplish it. Work at it. Keep trying. Revelations chapter 4 and verse 8 gives us a view of the future experience that must be experienced today, and praise God, can be in the future. And I will turn to that verse yet. I said in closing, and I heard a minister say one time, he likes to say, and at the end of his messages, he likes to say at least three times in closing, because he said it keeps people's attention. Revelations chapter 4 and verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and their eyes were full within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And I said this gives us a view of the future experience when we're going to be seated around. We hope to be seated around the throne of God and again marvel at his holiness. But as we anticipate that, we must start today. It must be a part of our lives and experience today. May that be our experience, and may this message tonight just inspire you again to endeavor to try to live in the holiness, the pureness of life for God, because we serve a God who is holy, holy, holy. Let's kneel for prayer.